we will have an opportunity at the end of the service to bless others in a unique way, and I'll tell you when we can do that. And I know many of you have already brought shoes up here, and some of you pulled up with trucks full of shoes, so we appreciate that as well. But I really want to begin looking at the person of Jesus Christ. I think that's vital in anything we do in ministry, that we have to start with Jesus. We have to look at him. He's the one we call Lord. He's the one that we call Savior. And the reality is, if we lose sight of Jesus, we're going to lose the mission. and we're going to lose the purpose. And the reality is you and I, we're designed to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're created for that purpose. Is it a good thing to give away shoes that are in need? That's a really good thing. Is it a good thing to love on people? Yes. Is it a good thing? Is it a great thing to share the good news? Yes. In fact, I think do all of those things. But you've got to begin. Because here's the reality. All those things, those are a crummy God. Ministry in and of itself is a crummy God. It's a good mission. It's a good mission when you put Jesus first. So we want to start looking at Jesus. And let's just take a brief look at him. And sometime in the next hour, I'll close this up. That's a joke if you're listening here. Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, and it will be on the screen behind me. Daniel 13, or chapter 7, verse 13. And he gives us a picture of this unexpected Jesus. He says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, who was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." We serve an incredible God. We serve an incredible Savior. And this incredible Savior, he came to us over 2,000 years ago. And he defied the expectations of men. People weren't expecting him to be born in a manger. People weren't expecting him to come in such humble circumstances. And at the time of Jesus' birth, in Israel, there was a king named Herod. And he called himself the King of the Jews. And Matthew begins his gospel. He says, "Now after this, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem." Now, I think, and you could disagree with me, that's fine, just do it after the service. But I think Matthew's given us more than a historical marker here. I think Herod is asking a question. Or not Herod, Matthew. I think Matthew is asking a question. And it's a question I think you need to answer today. Who is your king? I think that's the question he's asking. And then in Rome at the same time, people would say things like this. "There is no other name in which you must be saved except for Caesar." And they would say things like, "Caesar is Lord." Now, Luke tells us in his birth narrative, at the time, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus decreed that a census would be taken throughout the Roman Empire. So if Matthew's asking, "Who's your king?" I think Luke is saying, "Who's your Lord?" And then in Mark, we're told this, Mark 1:15. It says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Repent and believe the good news. At the beginning of John's gospel, John introduces Jesus as the eternal one, the one who created the world in the beginning. And then he said, clear the way for the way of the Lord. Now, if we go through this, and I say this for an important reason, all four gospel writers are telling a story in which they believe that one in the manger that we looked at is unique in all of human history. This is the one that is saying, I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. And he's going to change the world. Now, that's kind of a background. Let me fast forward 33 years from the birth. John chapter 13, maybe a familiar passage to some of you. Beginning at verse 1 says this. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and he was going back to God. Let's just make sure we understand what's going on here. This is Jesus, and Jesus knows very clearly who he is. He knows that he's the Son of God. He knows that he's God in the flesh. And he knows something else. That his hour has come. And in other words, what the writer here of the Gospel of John is telling us, that Jesus knows this is the moment. And in this moment, I'm going to make a big move. This is the play we have been waiting to play the whole game. And here it comes. Let's check out Jesus' big move at this moment. When authority is given to him, he's come to his own, he's ready. Verse 4. He rose from supper and laid aside his outer garments and taken a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that he wrapped around him. Like I said, this story may be familiar to many of you, and so I kind of want to pause, because usually it's the familiar stories where I miss things. And so we need to make sure what's going on. Let's think of the characters that are in this. You have Jesus, who secular historians say is the most influential person in history. So you have the most powerful, most influential person in all of human history. And the Bible tells us he comes to his own, all things are given to him, and he strips down and takes on the role of a servant. He washes everyone's feet. I know we know the story, but this is shocking. This has got to be one of those things where people, you know, as they're lining up to wash their feet, like, has he lost his mind? what in the world is going on? Now, and if I'm there, and just forgive me, but if I'm a strategist, I want to pull Jesus aside and go, look, I've given my life. I've walked away from this fishing job that I had, you know, or, you know, if I'm Matthew, I'm like, hey, I was making bank. And I left that, and I'm following you. You got to help me out. Because if I understand what you're saying, you're the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords, you're going to topple every kingdom that there is in the universe. And I might even draw a picture. Melinda, can you put a picture up there? I might draw this picture. I can't draw, but if I could, I'd go, Jesus, help me out. If we're going to topple kingdoms, which of the two items should we pick up? Because I'm thinking a sword would work really well if I'm going to topple some kingdoms. You've got a bowl of water and a towel. And you've met Herod, right? I mean, you know the stories about him. Herod is not going to step down because you washed a couple people's feet. All right? That's just not going to happen. Herod knows power. And all Herod knows is that sword. And people obey and people follow because they fear that sword. Can you work with me, Jesus? You know about the Roman Empire, right, Jesus? You know their power and that they've conquered the known world? Can you help me figure out this power, this influence, this you're going to topple these kingdoms? Because this is a very strange move. I'm not sure I understand it. In fact, Peter's by him, beside himself. Peter's... Some ways you've got to love Peter, because Peter's at least bold enough to say what everybody else is thinking. You know? There's got to be one or two guys going, no, this isn't right. It says, and when he came, verse 6, when he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now. And how many, you had that day in life? Like, what's going on, Lord? And he says, what I'm doing now, you don't understand now. He says, but afterward, you will understand. Peter says to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, he's on board now. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. And Jesus is going to explain this. Because this is not an isolated event in Jesus' life. In fact, if you look at the foot washing, it's a picture of his entire ministry. It's a picture of his plan to save the world. And in fact, the really cool point is he asked us to join him. Imagine that. God can do whatever he wants. God really doesn't need me. The most amens I ever got. God really doesn't need me. But he chooses to work through me.
Amen.
He invites us to join him in ministry. Let's skip to verse 12. It says, and when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, he returned to his place and said to them, do you understand what I've done for you? He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. For so I am. He says, if then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. He says, for I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly I say to you, the servant is not greater than his master, nor the messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you do them. Do you understand what I did for you? And I just reread that. Do you understand? Because I hope we understand, because this is the clearest picture of our Savior. This is a clear picture of him all the way to the cross. Okay? The one who stoops down to wash our feet is the one who became humble and obedient to the point of death, to the death on a cross. But he didn't stay dead. He was resurrected from the dead. He defeated sin. He defeated death. When we look at Jesus and we think unexpected, Nobody expected a dead man to come back to life. And this unexpected Jesus, he invites us to follow his example. This is the Jesus that I invite you to focus in on. Fall in love with him. And then follow him. See, I don't think Jesus relinquishes power. I think he redefines it. He redefines what he's going to do with his power, how he's going to send us out on mission. Because I think if we were to gather together and gather up a plan, it wouldn't have been, okay, we'll send Jesus to the cross. Let him die for our sins. That would not be the plan. And Jesus isn't looking for us to relinquish our power. All of you have some sort of power, some sort of influence. Jesus isn't looking for you to relinquish that. He's looking for you to redefine it and to re-understand it and use it in a different way. You have power by the pair of shoes that you're wearing today, by the shoes that are in our closet. You have power that a lot of people in this world do not have. And Jesus wants us to redefine and to re-understand that power. What is Jesus doing here? He's creating people that will go out and bless the world. Go out and bless the world in his name. Luke 6:28 says this, "Blessed are those who curse you." Oh, bless those. All right, everybody take that back. All right. Oh, man. I know it doesn't say that. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who hurt you. And this isn't a new idea, by the way. You go all the way back to Genesis. Go back when God sent out Abraham. What did God say to him? He was going to create this nation of Israel. And that nation of Israel had a particular purpose. Genesis 12:2, it says, "And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you." Most of us, if God said that to us, like man, I'm going to make you great and I'm going to bless you. You're like, cool, I'm good, move on. He says, "I'm going to make your name great so that you will be a blessing." You and I are blessed for a purpose. You've been given power for a purpose. You are blessed to be a blessing. This is the picture. This is a picture of Jesus with that basin and with that towel. It is a blessing, brothers. Jesus has inaugurated a kingdom of blessers. I know the computer doesn't like the word blessers. But you are created to be a kingdom of blessers, whether the word likes it or not. You know, here's one of the privileges I have in ministry. I didn't warn you about this, Zeph, because you probably would have talked me out of it. But one of the privileges that I have is I get to work with Pastor Zeph. That's a privilege. And then I could go around the room and point out others and say, "Man, what a blessing! What a privilege!" But I point out Pastor Zeph because if you want to know what it looks like to be a servant, to have the heart of a servant, look at Pastor Zeph. Amen. That is more amens than God doesn't need me. You got more than that. That's awesome. But I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a place and somebody will say, "Hey, do you work with Pastor Zeph?" I'll say, "Yeah, how do you know him?" "Oh, he blessed us with this, or he gave us this thing, or he did this." And I'm like, "Of course he did. That's Zeph." You know, and sometimes, you know, going to a store or we're doing something, like, "Where did Zeph go?" I'm like, "I don't know. He's probably over there buying that person's groceries or something." But so to bless, it's an old English word, and it means to add strength to another's arm. In other words, we're to go out and we're to bless other people. We're to lift them up. We're to encourage them. We're to cause them to flourish. Now, one of the greatest ways we can cause them to flourish is to share the gospel. Share the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. And you look at Zeph, and he's like one of those guys where you say, he's never met a stranger. I mean, that's just a reality. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He's not afraid to walk alongside the helping and the hurtless. He's blessed to be a blessing. Now, I don't say that so we can just look at Zeph and say, hey, yay, what a great pastor we have. But okay, go ahead, just yay. But if all we do is say, yay, great, what a good job, we miss the point. We miss the point. This is not a spectator sport. This isn't a, yeah, go for it. It's, yeah, go for it. Let's join with them. Let's do this together. Let's be a kingdom of blessers. And I can tell you, I can tell stories about many people in here. And I bet you, if you ask them, if you say, why do you do what you do? Zeph, why do you do what you do? He's going to say, because Jesus first loved me. I do what I do because Jesus has poured into me. In fact, he has poured so much into me, I need to give it out. Or I'm going to burst. And that's what we need to do. That's why we need to go back to Jesus. We need to fall in love with the King and then go out and be a blessing because he has blessed us. And this unexpected Jesus, he continues, because something unexpected happens when we go out and bless others. It's actually a surprise in the gospel. Maybe you've read it enough time that it's no longer a surprise, but at the end of time, Jesus talks about gathering together people. And in Matthew 25, 34 through 36, he says, and then the king will say to those on his right, he'll say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. That's a picture of what a kingdom of blessers look like. They see the need and they respond. And Jesus is going to say the same to those on his left, except for he's going to change a couple words. Like he says, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't do this. When I was a stranger, you didn't do all these things. And both groups appear to be just as surprised. They go, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you without shoes on your feet? Could refresh my memory. When did this happen? And he says, verse 40, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. The unexpected king that is born in a manger, led by serving, washed feet, died a criminal's death, rises from the dead, says, come follow me. Come follow me and go out and serve others. And I think there's a question that I need to continue to ask myself, and maybe you need to ask yourself. Is Jesus my Lord and Savior? And then there's another question that we sometimes forget. Is Jesus a good role model? Because sometimes we look at him and say, yes, he's a good Savior. I'm glad he died on the cross for my sins and my salvation. But do I follow? follow him. You know, because usually when you play follow the leader, you actually do what the leader does, right? And so I have to ask myself, as Jesus stooped down, lowered himself. I mean, he already lowered himself when he came to earth. But then he continues to love and to serve. And not just good people like you and I. And he loved us in our ugliness, and our brokenness, and our sin. He stooped down to where we were. And then he says, I've given you an example. Will you follow that example? And here's my challenge. And many of you have already done that. Today, we just stoop down, take off our shoes, leave them here. Maybe you've got a closet full back at home and you want to bring them back, stoop down in there. But my challenge is to go out and follow this unexpected Jesus and go out and love people in unexpected ways. Go out there and serve. But when the worship team come forward, there's a reality. Let me give you a couple statistics, and I'll close here. There's 3 million kids in the world today that are without shoes. There are millions of people that have very preventable diseases just by putting on a pair of shoes. And we have an opportunity. Here's the challenge. Like I said, you're free to do what you want. The challenge is to get your shoes and go barefoot. And my question is, why go barefoot for a day so somebody doesn't have to the entire year? Jesus said this. He says, I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done for you. And I tell you the truth. Servant is not greater than their master, nor the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing this.